I want to break age as a label. Why does it matter?
Seriously.
It's only telling yourself that you should be here. You should be doing this. You mm-hmm. should be married. You should have kids by now. You should have succeeded by now. You should feel older. You should maybe not feel as strong and healthy because you're this old. Like mm-hmm. it's all just like constant labels and reminders of limiting beliefs for ourselves that totally. Society has put onto us.
Welcome back to the show. I can't wait for you to meet my guest, Tara Electra. But before we get into the show, I just want to remind you to go and check out Glossy. I have spent the last couple of years getting this product out into the world, and it is my new absolute favorite ritual of all time. For anybody who drinks lemon water, this will replace it. I'm telling you, it's delicious. It's freaking awesome. It makes me feel incredible. Some of the ingredients in there are a clinically studied probiotic, which has 30 clinical studies on it, you guys. It was created to survive the trip to your gut, which most probiotics are not. And also, the studies that are on here are blowing my mind. So many different studies on repair for your body for people who are athletes and digestion and absorption of nutrients. You guys definitely have to go and check it out, let alone magnesium, prickly pear, hyaluronic acid for making your skin retain water and have that super glowy look. You guys go and check it out at getglossy.com. And you can use code HAPPY for 15% off because all of my podcast listeners are freaking epic and I want to give you a discount. So use the code HAPPY for 15% off. So today on the podcast, I have Tara Electra. Tara and I both grew up with pretty similar limiting beliefs that we weren't smart enough. So talking to her, I kind of felt like I was talking to myself for a little while. And we also really related on how we look at things that we love and obsess over the fact of, okay, if I love this, how can I make money doing this? Kind of like what I did with my company. So Tara went from dropping out of high school and quitting her job as a hairstylist to building her agency, helping influencers you actually know with millions of followers monetize online. Because just because someone has millions of followers does not mean that they're making any money. And so this is the problem that she was solving. We cover so much in this episode, from charging your worth and what we look for when hiring employees to challenging societal views on aging and manifesting your craziest dream life. You guys, she has an epic podcast that I got to be on. It was actually one of my favorite interviews that I've ever gotten to do. So make sure to go check that out on Billion Dollar Baby. Before we record this episode, she interviewed me on her show. So I already had a pretty good feel for who she was, which I just feel like made this such a fun episode to record. So let's get started. Tara, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I've always been such a huge fan of you. So thank you so much.
Well, here we are in your bed.
I know.
So
welcome.
And for you guys who are only listening and you cannot see, I just got to be on your podcast, which was so much fun. You're such a good interviewer.
Oh, thank you so
much. I'm going to just pretend you learned that from listening to mine.
Yes, I did. And you know, it's cool. Like, we had so many moments on mine that you're like, we're going to go way deeper on this on my podcast. So it's cool to do a switch.
Yeah, you kind of set me up to win on this one because I got to learn so many things about you that potentially I may not have gotten to hear. I feel like we have so much in common, which is really fun. I did not know. We're going to go right here, right away. I would have never guessed, just by especially what you do, which we'll unpack in a minute, that you did not feel smart growing up. Mm-hmm. And it's just like all of these little moments in our life, which I'm going to get back to that because I do want to talk about, so that people have context. I want you to share just what you do right now in your life. Then we're going to unwind the ball of yarn.
Yeah. So I work with a ton of influencers online. Mm-hmm. So main thing is just helping influencers monetize. So any like social media talent. So, you know, sit with people and figure out what their dreams are and help them move towards it and building those into ways they can make money. So mm-hmm. that's really what we do.
But you also do that with not just like anyone. You do that with people who have millions and millions and 50 millions of followers. Yeah. Like, how did you get into that? And especially knowing that you did not feel smart or necessarily have confidence, most people would not be able to be in rooms with people like that.
Yeah. I know it's crazy because I was like addicted to social media when I was younger, like MySpace and then Facebook. And then I remember being like, okay, if I keep going on it and I'm addicted to it, I just had a thought cross my mind to be like, if I'm going on it this much, I need to know how to make money from it.
Oh my God.
And it was before influencers were a thing.
How old were you when you had that thought?
I don't know what age I would be. It was when like MySpace and Facebook was out.
So that it's is like so smart.
When people were first using it.
If I'm on here anyway, I need to make money. That's how I felt about exercising. I was like, if I need to do it the rest of my life, why don't I get paid for it?
Yeah. So that thought crossed my mind, but there was no one really making money online. And then fast forward, I guess I just held that thought, but I didn't think much of it. I didn't have any resistance towards it. I just was like, oh, okay.
This makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Went forward in life, did a totally different career, like was a hairstylist. So my dad owned a hair salon. And then I went in that path because he's like, you can make your own schedule. And I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I dropped out of high school also, and I didn't feel smart. And so I got my cosmetology license and was making good money, like built my own clientele. But then I very quickly was like, this is not my passion. And I already knew that going into it, but I did it
How
because
long did
it was
you do
safe.
It for?
Like 3 years.
Okay.
And so every day I'd drive out there because I slowly moved away from my hometown, which was in the Valley. And I was like, okay, I'm going this way, like more towards Hollywood where everything's happening. Yeah. But I would drive to work like, you know, 45 minute drive every day. And I would just not want to do it anymore. I felt like soul sucked and
like I cannot
drained.
Make it through this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was around, I want to say that was around the time I listened to your podcast too. I feel like it was around those times.
And I'm like, quit your job if you're not happy.
Yeah. And so I slowly, like the first thing that happened to me that kind of pushed me to start like being my better version was I definitely think, I mean, who knows about this for sure, but I feel like it, that I met one of my soulmates in my life because this person particularly, I was heartbroken and I wasn't like my better version. So I was very like immature in the relationship and so forth and handled it really wrong. And then I felt so bad about it. And I was so sad about it, lost him in my life. And I felt very like victimized, like poor me, I'm sad all the time, whatever. And my sister at the time was like, the guy she was talking to had told her about the secret. Mm. And she's like, yeah, he randomly was saying to me like, oh yeah, I know I'm going to get a parking spot because I believe it, you know? And she's
like, always what do you mean? The parking spot's the secret. Totally. Yes.
Yeah. She's like, what do you mean?
It's the gateway drug.
Yeah. And then he told her about it. So I was like, wait, I need to listen to this now. And it was on our drive to the hair salon and we played in the car and I just felt so, I clearly was so open to receiving a change because when I heard it, it was so impactful for me. So I do believe you're, depending on where you are in your life, you're going to really take it in or not. Mm-hmm. But I listened to every single word and I was like, oh, wow, I'm playing the story. Mm-hmm. I'm creating my life. Why am I choosing this life? That's when I started to really open my mind up to like creating my own reality. And then I manifested some really cool things and started with small things and manifested crazy stuff, I could tell you at some point. But then I was like, wow, this world is so powerful. Like we really could have what we want and we really are creating our reality. Because once I got the proof of my manifestations, I started breaking through all my limiting beliefs. Mm. And so like I was kind of telling you before, it took me a while of constantly listening to podcasts and speakers and people that were aligned with those thoughts until I can slowly rewire and take myself out of those thoughts and beliefs. So I wasn't happy doing what I was doing, but I just went and did it every day. And on my drive there would take the time to get myself aligned with the way people were thinking that were doing things I wanted to do. Mm. And so getting myself to hear those things and absorb that information. And then even though I had to go do something I didn't love. And then, you know, as you keep doing it, you slowly break through. And then I one day heard about a guy that at the time, like influencers were just becoming a thing. And he was working with one influencer. And I was like, oh, he's the first person I've heard that like, you know, is working on the internet and influencers make money on the internet. So I asked if I could go be his assistant. So I like literally like begged him to let me be your assistant. And he said yes. And I dropped all my clients. And, you know, once you give up your clients for hair and they go somewhere else, it's really hard to get them back. Yeah. Like you're done. And so I dropped them all. And next thing I know, I'm in like West Hollywood living the life of like what it's like to work around talent, which was so drastically different from anything I've ever experienced. Like his life, the guy I worked with, was waking up, going, you know, he didn't even want to start until around like 12 and then meet with him. And then he's going to lunches with talent and so many different people are coming to the lunch. And like, that's his work day. Or like, he's taking me to YouTube headquarters and like going to all these cool meetings. And I was like, wow, this life is so cool, you know? And I'm like, I was having to be at a certain place every single day. Now I
like
can
we
go.
Start at noon?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and we have lunch with people?
Yeah.
And this is work.
Yeah. Like, we're having such cool conversations for work. Crazy. And then what was great for me, but I didn't realize at the time, is that he was such a door opener. He's like a natural networker. He was so good at it that he could open the door to a lot of opportunities, but he wasn't really like a what happens after person.
Got it.
And so when I went to all these meetings with like so many amazing business people, we'd always leave the meeting and then he'd go like hang out with the influencers and just chill and make friends with them. And I'm like, wait, what about all the things we're supposed to do?
You know?
And so he kind of was like, you do them. So then
you're the integrator.
Yeah.
He's the networker. You were supposed to integrate. Okay.
Yeah. So I was just an assistant and I never had any experience with this stuff. So I started like researching online how to make pitch decks and business proposals and putting together campaigns.
My God. Yeah.
So I learned how to monetize on social media through literally being forced into it. And so, yeah, I just did it and it was fun and whatever, but you know, slowly, and this was one of my life path things, is like I wasn't valued in the way that I should have probably been, but it was okay. It was a learning path for me. Like I made less, even though I made him so much money. Mm. And then I kind of decided one day, I was like, okay, this doesn't feel right for me anymore. And I remember not knowing like what I was going to do after. I just moved to Hollywood to be closer, just got an apartment with my sister. And went to his place that day to just be like, hey, I'm quitting. And I just quit and I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just like free-falled into it and was like, I'm gone. And I left. And it was like so empowering and scary. And from there, I just kind of was like, I'm going to figure it out. And so figured out other ways to work with talent on my own and created my own business that I started. Didn't know what I was going to do with it or how to do it. I created a company on LegalZoom and started thinking of names.
Yeah.
Just started to really engulf myself in every which way I could possibly work with talent and pitching myself to companies to bring them talent and create campaigns for them to get eyeballs online. But I really had a thing with like not having my value and what I should be paid. So a lot of times I was paid very poorly and went through a lot of struggle with creating my own business for a while.
Hey y'all, if you didn't know, Earn Your Happy is now a part of the Growth Day Podcast Network. This is so exciting to me because I have been looking for a really good home for the show for, I can't even tell you, years, literally. And now I've finally been able to come together and collaborate with other people who have incredible shows, and I want to share them with you. One of the shows is Motivation with Brennan Bouchard. And you guys, if you don't know about the beginning of my career, I literally started with Brennan Bouchard's work. It's how I launched one of my very first online courses and membership sites, was because he gives so much advice that you can integrate and implement immediately. And that's what you're going to get on the show. Not just motivation, but you're going to learn exactly how to get your stuff out in the world. And not just that, but Brennan runs in the most incredible group of humans who are really doing the thing out in the world that you want to be doing. So go check it out. Go subscribe to Motivation with Brennan Bouchard. I promise you, this is going to be one of those shows that no matter when you tune in, you're going to get value. Like, it's not one of those that you're like, God, I listened for 30 minutes and I didn't get what I wanted. Like, from the beginning, you're going to get something that changes your life or changes your business. So go check it out. Motivation with Brennan Bouchard. I know you're going to love it. I'm obsessed.
When and how did that change? When were you like, oh, I'm not getting paid enough and I can't, even though I love this, I can't keep going?
Yeah, I feel like getting paid by someone else was very steady, being his assistant and having that paycheck.
That's right.
The moment you go on your own, you kind of are like forced to do it yourself. But not feeling as valuable myself was hard to then pitch my worth to a company when it was just me. I was like, am I worth this?
So were you like, I'll do everything?
Yeah, I over-delivered.
You'd oversell them and then underprice yourself. Were people saying yes right away to you?
No, not all the time. But for an example, I basically pitched myself to music festivals at the time because I heard that Insomniac, which is one of the biggest music festival companies, they run like EDC and all these different huge festivals. They wanted to work with influencers. So I pitched myself to be like, hey, I can bring you influencers. I can put together this campaign. And they hired me and like 2-3 other people. And I remember the guy didn't even care to hire me. Like I literally had to, again, push my way to be like, trust me, please. I took less than every other person there because the rest were guys. The other 2-3, I think it was like 3 other guys. And so I took way less. I got paid like $1,500. And this was like a 3-month of work thing.
Probably cost you $1,500 to like drive everywhere and do everything. Exactly.
And so I put together this whole campaign, pitched all this talent to come and be a part of this festival and promote the festival and all this stuff. So I remember coming to the meeting with it. And I just remember specifically this guy across from me was like, once I pitched all the people I had, everyone else had like one influencer or two. And I had like 40 people.
Oh my God. Were you like, oh, I'm different?
Yeah. I remember one guy was like, are you on Adderall? He like couldn't believe that I like actually did so much. So then they ended up hiring me for all their festivals, but they hired my company for it. So I started doing that. But again, I thought that if I over delivered and brought so much value that I would get paid for it. But I was definitely, I worked with them for like 2.5 years and never really got what I was worth or valued at. So that was a long struggle.
When you decided to charge more for the first time, what did that feel like? Do you remember the moment that you were like, I am upping my prices to this? And the first time you pitched that price.
Yeah. I think it's still something I sometimes struggle with too, because I overgive myself. I do it in friendships and relationships and work. I feel the need to overgive value. So I think it's something I still struggle with, but it's something at least I know I have. So I'm like, okay, I'm doing it here. Now I see it, you know? Yeah. But I think what really happened for me is I was trying to like force my way into opportunities to make money. And so, you know, there was months and months where I didn't make no money and I'm living off my savings. And I'm like, literally, like, I'm not going to work for anyone else. I'm going to be a business owner and just telling myself that, but not making any money and feeling like I'm failing all the time. Yeah. And so what I realized then is like, when you're starting your own business, you have to literally be your own boss because no one's telling you what to do. I hate that part. Yeah. And everyone thinks it's like, oh, being your own boss is so hard because it's like you're working, a business owner actually works more than the employee.
Way more.
You know? And so you're working way more. So I think all those times I didn't really know if I was going to make it or do it. And I was just like, finally, after so long, I finally had certain things click where I did like a campaign and it made me more money. And I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to make, you know, 10 grand on something that I worked on or whatever. So I slowly started like growing what I can make in my belief with just listening to podcasts and money. What was the
money mindset? The Secret to the Millionaire Mind. Yeah, T. Harv Eker, guys.
Yeah, so good. And so just changing my belief. And then I think I aligned with the company I have now. It just kind of like, I always say it's when preparation meets opportunity, when Oprah Winfrey says that quote. And it's like all the things that I failed on and all the things that didn't work out was all preparing me for that moment where it all came in so much need for the company I work at now.
Where do you think the over giving came from in your life? Why do you do that?
That's a good question. It's probably coming from not feeling good enough. But I'm not sure for sure where it's coming from other than like when I was growing up, my mom went through depression and she had a lot of struggles. And so I didn't get attention when I was growing up. And then my dad worked a lot. So constantly feeling like I had to fight for attention and love. So maybe that I feel like I have to overgive to receive any sort of value.
Like to feel valuable. I think that's a huge thing with women. And I know that we were talking about on your podcast, you had mentioned in some of your relationships right now, like you just feel like you're constantly giving, but maybe not, you haven't found those relationships that have totally filled you up yet. Mm-hmm. What happens in those, and you don't have to share too much, but what happens in those relationships where you can see where you need to take more responsibility for the overgiving part? Are you able to be vulnerable with them or no?
Yeah, I try to, but it's like, it's more so just, you know, when you get to a certain place of your life with the things you've like grown past or limiting beliefs you've worked on, then you kind of don't want to take advice from just anyone. So there's only so much you would open up about because you're not even gonna really take their advice in this subject because maybe they're not as aligned with the way you think.
Totally.
You know? So I do notice that I do probably have a hard time being too vulnerable on things, but it's more so just to protect myself from information. And I don't know, I work so much and I find like my people I work with are my friends because I'm working all the time.
Totally.
It's just probably not the healthiest. So I mostly talk about work with people I'm friends with.
Got it. Okay. So you're in a place that I feel like so many people can relate to who are listening right now. And I think that we're always going to wind up in this place over and over in our life when we have the realization that we also need to make a new group of friends to support where we're going. So can you just share a little bit with kind of where you're at again with friendships and what you're feeling like is still like missing in your life?
Yeah. So for my relationships with friends, what's missing is just the equal flow of give and take. Like when you're giving and then you also feel so fulfilled back.
Yes.
You know, and that you leave that room being like, wow, that was a really great time with that person. You
and
know?
Specifically, is that like you're looking for more fulfillment around business or like going deeper in your friendships or is it
I think
both?
It's both. I think for me, I don't know how to not talk about work. So I think that's hard. But mostly I also am friends with a lot of people I work with. So like the clients I work with, I'm also friends with the talent. Like I also like, I genuinely care about them. So then I'm always trying to help. I don't feel drained by that. It's just more so I don't feel as much a place to go for me then, you know?
I love this conversation because this is actually part of why I had written my book was because I think this is such a, anyone who's going to go into something that they love, I think you go all in at first and you don't really have a lot of outside people because you don't even know what you need yet. So even just hearing you is reminding me so much about my path of like waking up and going, wait, all I do is talk about work or try to talk to my old friends, but it's not working as well because I don't feel connected. And then trying to figure out where to go and find more people. Is it starting to be like blaringly big for you that something's missing or is it not too bad yet?
I think it has been because I was in a relationship for a long time and they were like my support system to like have the connection.
They were filling that.
Then I would go to the friends and then give to them and then come back and then try to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
You know, and then as I've been more alone, I'm like, okay, it's now becoming really obvious that, you know, you can't, like you said, you can't get all your happiness from one person. It's like you find different things from different people. So allowing myself to realize that and know that for me, I think with anyone that has their own business, they almost feel like taking time away from their company, is it really worth it? Or like, not is it a waste of time, but kind of like, do you really have the time to go invest in these people or what is it for? I saw that a lot in my life. I'm like, why am I investing in someone that has nothing to do with my world at all?
Yeah.
You know, it feels weird. I'm so used to like investing in people that align with my life or my future or where I'm heading. And so realizing that when you create those relationships, it actually empowers you in what you're doing so much more. So I felt that before.
I had to think that too, because I was like, this is not productive.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are we even doing? How is this going to make me more money or move the needle or help my business?
Yeah.
Because a business is it takes all that you have, especially in the beginning. How long have you had it for?
It's going to be 4 years in March.
Oh, you've had it a while. That is so exciting. Okay. Yeah. Say the name. I don't think we said it yet.
Yeah. It's called Unruly.
Okay. And you are, for all of the people who don't really speak social media, what exactly do you do? Like, how do you help people?
So like we work with different brands and So for brands, it's more so just helping them put together campaigns with influencers. Yep. So how can their brand get more reach with mm-hmm. talent? And then with talent, it's obviously helping them get brand deals, but it's also helping them move into more opportunities, as well as to different ways to monetize their own fan base, whether that's through a podcast, a YouTube, a paywall, and so forth. So there's different things they can build around their social media.
Have you seen people like have millions of followers and not be making hardly any money?
Yes, all the time.
All the time.
Yes.
See, and to the other, to people who use, like, have a business and try to use social media, they're like, these social media people must be like multi-millionaires. They must be killing
it. It's because a lot of times talent, they're so creative and they are doing so great with their content, but they don't understand business. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's very hard with working with talent, because not all talent values a team or a business because they've never worked in a company.
They've always been able to generate that by themselves, like generate the attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't actually, a lot of them have never really worked in a real company. So like they don't know what goes behind the scenes to then value it so much,
yeah.
which is definitely a hard thing for if you want to work in the industry of talent. Yeah,
totally.
But it's just definitely something that, you know, is something I try to always give to the clients that I work with, about showing them how to build structure around themselves and how if they do these certain things, they can get to where they're trying to go. And then I help them do it, but also keeping them accountable to the things they want to do.
Okay. So that was something that was so impressive to me when we first started talking, is you were talking about, you know, your clients, and they have these massive followings, and you kind of help guide them also. So they're not just coming to, they're coming to you first for a service, but I think what is going to make you even more wildly successful than you already are is the fact that you have the ability to be able to help them break through different things that they don't even know that they need to work on. So how do you introduce that in your business? Is it just kind of like, oh, you're also getting this? Or is it just through conversation? Like, how do you start to help to guide these people to kind of see where their blind spots are and things that they need to work on in order to reach their goals?
Kind of very similarly to how you have a podcast, you know, when you're talking to someone and you're interviewing someone, is like, I just talk to them about like what they've done, what they've tried, what they feel like has stopped them from getting what they wanted, and then working with them through those things. And then one of my things is that I see the good in people so much. So it's like, I kind of told you before, it's like a blessing and a curse, because sometimes I ignore the red flags, but in blessing parts, I feel like I could pull out the good in people. And so it's really just talking to someone for a little bit, I can totally see what they should do. Like, I don't know why I'm always like,
it's a gift. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, this is what you should be doing. And then I inspire them, and then they're excited, and then they're motivated. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's why I probably do work with so much talent, is like pulling out what they could be doing and motivating them. So
what's something that you see a lot among some people who have like these massive followings? Like, what's something you see right away that you're like, oh, this is, I know how to fix this, or I know how to help with this?
I think that when certain talent gets so big, they almost feel unfulfilled, which is crazy.
It makes total sense to me though.
Yeah. Like some of them are just like, what next? You know? And so
they thought that would be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You always think that a lot. Thing will be it.
Yeah. So you see these people that are so famous, and they know that everyone wants to like live a life of what they have. And then they don't know why they don't feel so happy about it, which is crazy.
So what do you help them?
So I try to show them how to align themselves with something that would actually make them feel excited again about their lives.
Yeah.
Like whether it's, I want to just make more money, or whether it's, or maybe they want to make more money off something they don't absolutely isn't their passion right now, but they know they can utilize their social medias to then invest in more things. Like, so helping them see how the roads, like the steps to take to getting to where they would want to end up.
Yeah, we all need a path. Mm-hmm. Like, we all need to know what we're working on next, but why as well. Like, what about for you? Like, what brings you fulfillment within your job right now?
I think it's whenever I meet with the talent. So when I meet with them and I can actually see them getting aligned with the things they said they wanted and actually doing it, I feel like that's a really cool feeling. And then in my company, we've made some like first-time millionaires, multiple.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
So that's the best, like, that's the best feeling.
Yeah. So that's been really cool and rewarding. And then also helping just the teams that I've hired mm-hmm. change their life. Like, I've hired so many people from, like, Coffee Bean or Starbucks, mm-hmm. and then they're making more money than their parents now. And so
you're like, I love this coffee. I can tell you're good.
Yeah. So, like, we've hired people from, like, all different walks of life, and, like, people would be surprised if they ever came into our company about just what it looks like internally. Like, we all, like, wear whatever we want. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we have a bunch of people from the LGB community, and, like, there's a lot of girls, and then there's people that are, you know, that are older too. Like, we have all different mixtures of people from yeah. all walks of life, and it's like no judgment, and it's all just people that are, like, wanting to be either creative or learn sales really well or kind of be inspired to do something more. So it's been cool. It's been fun for me, because there was, like, a time when I spoke to all my team and I was like, I don't know if you guys realize, but I don't care about what you did previously. Yeah. I don't care about your resume as much as I care about how you show up, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't care if you went to college, because I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's where your background really pays off, is that you're going to be able to find people who I think are going to be the most talented at what they're good at, like, or they can learn the best because they feel free to be able to learn. And it's like, you could have never cultivated that, and you would have probably stopped so many great people in your company because you needed to look through the lens of, like, you need this or you need that. I feel like that's so different now.
And even what's crazy is I've hired some, like, really great people with a great background. It's like, some of them are, like, worse than the people I've grown within the company.
Totally.
And, like, came from being a server. It's yeah. wild.
What do you think is the most important trait when you're hiring someone? Like, what do you always look for?
I think it's, like, kind of different per role, but I think mainly what I really have seen is, like, are you actually wanting to be better? Mm-hmm. You know, because we're always have more to learn and do. And it's like, are you trying to be stagnant, or are you actually wanting to, like, know why I said that, or why I did this in this meeting, or why I handled this a certain way? Like, I've had some people I've hired that are like, wow, I love how you said that, and I didn't realize you did this in this meeting because of this. And, like, they're actually choosing to learn rather yeah. than me having to be like, hey, this, this, and this.
Totally.
You know, you should be doing this, or take your notes so that you could do this yourself next time.
Yeah. I think that's most important too. I think for me, I always growth mindset and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if you have those two things, mm-hmm. you're good.
Exactly. So true.
Yeah. Okay. How did you learn to become a leader? Like, because that is not easy. And then what is the hardest part for you about leading?
I don't know how I became a leader. I think it was more so just doing things that made me uncomfortable, and knowing that I wasn't going to live, like, a simple life, like a traditional life. Like, I just refused.
Why?
I don't
what
know.
What scared you about being normal?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's funny because
you don't,
like,
know the fear at all. Like, I do not want to be that way.
I just have felt that from, like, a young age. So it'd be hard for me to really think about it. But I just knew, like, since a young age, I didn't want to, like, get married young and have a kid right away and move into, like, that home and then go to work every day. Like, I just knew that wasn't yeah. for me. I was just like, I'm very much a believer in, like, breaking the traditional route of what we think success or happiness looks like,
yeah.
you know? So doing things, like, my own way. And then I think that has maybe inspired people. But I think the hardest thing from being a leader is people think that you have it all figured out. So some people, like, take advantage of you because of it, because they're kind of, like, maybe coming from a place of jealousy or not wanting to see, maybe you're triggering something within them that's making them not feel good. So I've had people try to tear me down or take things from me or try to screw me over and things like that, or make up things about me. I've gotten lawsuits from people that I was close with, you know?
Yeah.
And hard. So that's the hardest thing about being a leader, is because I think they think I have it all figured out, so it's fine.
Totally. Yeah. And once you run the business and once you become a leader, you're like, this is the hardest job ever that mm-hmm. I've ever experienced. Yet it's still, why is it still worth it? To anyone who's maybe in it right now and in the lawsuit, or
yeah,
why should they push through?
think it's because that's when you're a true leader, you know that you wouldn't be happy otherwise, mm-hmm. you know?
And it's a part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do you, you really want to just go sit back and kind of like let every, watch life pass you by again? Yeah. Like when you're kind of able to impact people's lives or help people, it's so fulfilling, mm-hmm. you know?
So the whole theme of talking to you in our last podcast and this podcast has really been about like growth. You love going deep. You love personal development. Why, what has that given to you? Like what kind of world has that opened up for you?
I think it's just made life more exciting. Mm. Like, cause life can get kind of dull if it's like, this is all we're here for and this is it kind of thing. If there's yeah. nothing more. I was on a walk the other day with my sister. I was like, wow, wanting is a good thing because mm. I was imagining, I'm like, I already, sometimes when I'm stressed, I'm like, I wish I was just already at the phase where I had so much money, didn't have to think about anything, could buy whatever I wanted to, go on a month vacation on a yacht in Capri, you know, like the perfect life, yes. you know, like I wish I was there. And then I'm like, well, when I'm there, I'm probably not going to want anything anymore as much. Mm-hmm. Whereas like now I'm like, okay, I have to get up. I have to do this. You feel like you have all these things. So I'm like, wanting is so powerful. Like we need to want to live. Otherwise, what are you doing anymore? You know?
I just wrote an email about this that's going out, which is so funny that you said that. It's about like how important that desire is, but how to keep it in check. Meaning like to be grateful for the desire because it's giving us so much hope. And it's the desire is leading us down the journey, which is often challenging, that is creating us into the person that we came here to be. Mm-hmm. And the second that you like stop desiring, the zest for a life can be gone. Because
for sure.
I feel like desiring things is a great thing as long as you are simultaneously grateful for what you have. I think yeah. desiring gets like wanting things gets overwhelming it when you or like start to focus on what you don't have, and then it obviously pushes it away too because that detracts it. So
true. I have a point right now too. Okay. That I think would be cool is like I started paying for my mom to not have to work anymore.
It's amazing.
And so mm-hmm. it was really fulfilling. I always obviously wanted her to not have to, but yeah. then I saw for her, she started to feel more like maybe depressed.
Totally.
Like,
yes.
Like, what is she really doing anymore? Yep. So I think that we all think like we want this end road of not having to do anything, but then you're like, what are you gonna really feel then? So I think it's like taking yourself out of the moment and being like, okay, maybe it feels so hard right now, but I know for a fact when I get to a place of not needing to do this anymore, I'm going to look back at these times and I'm going to smile and be like, wow, yes. look at what I went through and did and got here. And it's going to feel so rewarding.
That is a really weird place to be. And I've never actually talked about this on my podcast, but because you just mentioned it, I think it's going to be so interesting for people to hear. Cause my goal was always to like pay for certain people in my life. Oh. And when I got there and did it, I noticed that a couple things. So not saying any names of anyone, but like I noticed that it was not enough and it actually made the people not happy. Mm-hmm. It actually did not bring more happiness. Mm-hmm. And so there's this fine line of like having these dreams of, oh, when I hit here, I'd love to do this for this person and this for this person, this for this person. But you rob the people of their actual journey and why we exist, like, mm-hmm. which has made me think so much about life and how we need challenge and we need a place to show up. Mm-hmm. And even if you, I think of it as like, even though back in the day I hated the hell holes that I had to go to work sometimes, they were making me get up and get ready. They were making me be social around people. And because when I transitioned from like doing all these jobs I didn't like with a ton of other people at different workplaces, and I transitioned into what you were talking about, becoming my own boss when I first started network marketing, and I thought that staying home was the answer and being able to work from home, I had never, that was actually the most depressed I'd ever gotten. I was making more money than I'd ever made, and I was alone in my house crying all the time. I was so lonely and didn't know like what I should do. But I had the quick realization, like, I need challenge and I need community. So for you, what are some big things that you have learned? Like, what would you say if you could say there are three universal laws that you have learned about life that you need to be happy? What are those?
Well, real quick, I was going to say with my mom, then she started working again and now yeah. she feels good.
Exactly. We need to have a purpose and a job. Yeah.
She started doing insurance again. It was like, oh, now she gets excited when she sells a sell something now. Yes. So anyways,
so good.
So my three universal laws for happiness, I think it's doing what I say I'm going to do is one of them.
Mm.
And so when I said I was going to do this, my podcast, I was like, when I finally decided, okay, I am going to do it. And I told people, mm-hmm. I was like, well, now I have to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And I remember there were so many times I'm like perfect, trying to be perfect and trying to fix it and and overthinking the launch and all these things. And okay, now I created my own business and I was successful here. So now everyone's going to be watching if I'm successful there. You know, it's so much scared feeling.
Totally.
And so that was a lot, but just being like, okay, Tara, you got to do it anyways, because you said you're going to do it. You know, you truly want to do it. You love connecting with people. It's like every time I thought about what would be more fun than sitting and connecting with others. Like that's my favorite thing to do when I'm not being filmed.
Totally.
You know, so I get to do that. That'd be so cool. And so for me, it's been, you know, doing the things I say I'm going to do, because mm-hmm. even doing that, for an example, has given me so much fulfillment and has introduced me to so many people like you that I maybe would have never crossed your path.
Right.
So that's something that I've found has given me happiness. So doing what I say I'm going to do. Next would be definitely something around fear. Like, I definitely have realized, which is weird, is the older I've gotten, I've realized I have a lot more fear than I even knew I had, which is wild. I feel
fun.
Like, yeah. I'm like, I feel like when I was younger, I didn't have so much fear. And then now that I'm getting older, I'm realizing I do actually have fear and anxiety and all this stuff. And it's coming up a lot for me. And I turned 30, so it's just all coming up now. So taking the time to actually reflect on your fears and then transforming them, I feel like makes you feel very powerful and happy. So I've done a lot of like inner work, and I listen to Teal Swan. I've been listening to her a lot lately again, and I haven't listened to her for years, but she has this video on releasing traumas, and I did an episode on it too of how I would explain it, because hers is very, very deep. But as seeing parts of you of where this fear is coming from and allowing it to be there, and then not trying to push it away, being like, okay, I feel, you know, anxiety right now about the situation. Okay, well, I'm not going to try to change my thoughts right now and be like, no, I feel fine, because then you're keeping it more. And so going into those moments, allowing yourself to feel it, is how you can actually be with it and move past it, because all of our darkness is coming from the feeling of feeling like it shouldn't be there. That's where we're holding on to it.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're always like, why am I feeling this? Why am I feeling this? Again, on the car ride here, I was like, I don't want to feel this anymore. I'm like, I'm just feeling it. Just feel it. You can cry. Like, just feel it. And then I was like, I'm ruining my eyeliner. She's gonna be like, are you okay?
Yeah. So crazy.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, okay. I want you to think about this one. She made me close my eyes on her podcast. So I'm going to make you do it. Okay. Close your eyes. Okay, put your 8-year-old self in front of you in her cutest outfit. Do you remember what outfit at 8 was your favorite? Like an outfit you remember? Okay. Were you wearing pigtails? What were you doing? What was your hair?
I think my hair was just down. I always wore my hair down.
So it's 8-year-old you, and she puts her hands on your face, like both of them, and her little hands are on your cheeks, and she says, I'm so proud of you for. What is she proud of you for?
I think it would be like proving to me that I could still do it anyways, you know, because around that time, I think it was when I was like, just got held back and all that started happening. Mm. So I would say it's like, I'm so proud of you for doing it anyways, you know?
So good. Your 8-year-old self is like cheering right now. Like, she started a whole cheer team just for you. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. What is a question that you wish more people asked you?
That's such a good question. I guess, like, what do you feel like you truly want to do while you're on this earth?
Mm-hmm. And what do you truly feel like you want to do while you're on this earth?
I know at some point, so random, but I know it for a fact now, because I always have dreams about it. But I want to make a featured films at some point.
Wonderful.
Because I knew that when I first became spiritual, because I was like, wow, if I made a movie and I wrote a movie, that's a way that you can actually impact so many people.
Like, The Secret.
Watching it.
Yeah. It changed our lives.
Yeah. And so all of them would have like deeper spiritual meaning behind the movie, so that even if someone's so closed off to it, they're kind of like, wow, that was a good meaning to it, you know? And so I've literally had three dreams now where I've had a full movie come, like I dreamt about a situation. It felt so real. And I come out of it and I'm like, that would be a crazy movie. And I've written three now. So I know that at some point. And
that's happening.
Yeah. So I want to impact people through a film. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to create a movement at mm-hmm. some point when I'm really wealthy and have complete freedom. I want to break what age as a label. I hate age.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a label. And I think every time we have to say we're this old or like that, like it should, just as like now we're saying like he, she, they, whatever, I feel like everyone's trying to change the way people are looking at things. But I feel like the worst one is age, because why does it matter?
Seriously.
It's only telling yourself that you should be here. You should be doing this. You mm-hmm. should be married. You should have kids by now. You should have succeeded by now. You should feel older. You should maybe not feel as strong and healthy because you're this old. Like it's all just like constant labels and reminders of limiting beliefs for ourselves that society has put onto us.
We need this movie. Yeah. I used to bug me, and it doesn't bug me anymore because I've let go of so many of the things, because you do go through, especially as a woman, every year it's after supposedly 25. Yeah. I'm like, what? Now that I'm old, like much older than 25, I am now aware the richness of every year as I get older. And I wish that that was celebrated of like, you just get better and better and better every single year. And that's what we should all be celebrating, is like the lessons and how wise you become and like the richness of your relationship. So I love that. We need that movie yesterday.
Yeah. Well, that will be a movement.
That'll be a movement.
I want to like really get people to be like, I want it to become rude to ask. It has been kind of, but like to the point where it's like rude, but like you also don't care.
Yeah, you
like
don't care.
It's rude or you don't care or shouldn't. I want people to feel small minded to even ask someone.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, why does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I love that. Well, I am so grateful for you. I could talk to you all day. What is something that you have on your heart that you want to share with people? Any last thing?
I think the main thing for me was when I got success is just knowing that all the times you doubt yourself and that all the fears you have, that it doesn't matter. Those, all that pain, even if you keep feeling it, we'll get you to where you want to go as long as you keep waking up the next day and moving inch by inch by inch towards it. It's totally okay to have all that pain, because I think we're trying to get rid of it all the time.
Mm, that's so beautiful. Yeah. Okay, where can we find you, follow you, all the things?
Yeah, so my podcast is Billion Dollar Baby on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. And then my social media is T-A-R-U-H-H-H, Tara. That's not really how you spell it. Some people think that. They're like, wow, your parents gave you three H's.
But help me like pronounce it when I was figuring it out. So that's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for being on. It's like a manifestation. Like we're both living in a manifestation right now. It's so great. So this was so fun. And you guys definitely go find her, follow her, do all the fun things, because she is doing big things and she's also extremely interesting. So go check out the podcast. I loved it. I think you're putting such a fun spin on the way to, what are we doing right now? Interviewing. Thank you. I'm like, help me with a word. We can just leave that in there. It's fine. Yeah. On how you're interviewing people who I don't think normally get interviewed in the way that you are. Yeah. So thank you so much for changing that.
People and seeing people that are, you might look at and be like, wow, they know it all.
Yeah.
But actually breaking down like how did they get to where they are and what did they do differently?
I love that. Okay. Thank you so much. And you thank guys, you. Make sure you go find her, follow her. And until next time, earn your happy. Bye, everyone.